Turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 40. Isaiah, chapter number 40, if you would, tonight. And I want to share with you just a few verses. We're not going to get very far tonight. There's 31 verses in Isaiah, chapter number 40. There's 31 verses, and most people are familiar with verse 31. It's probably the most quoted verse. But we're not going to get to that tonight. We're just going to start to and go through maybe 8 verses if we get that far. But this is a chapter number 40 of the book of Isaiah. It's a turning point, if you would, in the writings of Isaiah. The 40th chapter, the book of Isaiah, now largely shifts its focus to the time beyond the chastening of God by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. The first 39 chapters we dealt with the coming judgment and the judgment of God upon Israel because of their sin. Now there's a turning point, if you would, and it's not so much focused on the judgment as it is the comfort of God's people, and which is a real tremendous study for us. The last portion of the book deals with the ministry of the redeemed Israel, the coming of the Messiah, and the millennium. Isaiah 40 begins with a new tone, which is comfort or encouragement for Israel. The ministry of John the Baptist is foretold in these verses, few verses at the beginning. Then the prophet Isaiah moves on to a magnificent comparison, contrasting the greatness of God and the weakness of man. Boy, I'm telling you, we want to talk about a study. You study the greatness of God and the weakness of man, and it'll bless your heart. Amen. Because God's a great God. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. God's a great God. We begin to look at His greatness and our weakness. We see how great He is. Amen. But the chapter ends with the promise of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. Let's begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, verse number 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. I know that sounds kind of bad in verse number 2, but you're going to shout when I explain that to you. I about run a lap or two around in my study when I got to reading that double for her sins. I'm telling you, that's something that's going to bless the mess out of you. I hope it does. Anyway, it did me. But anyway, the Bible says, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And the Lord said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. All the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth. The flower fadeth. But watch this now, verse number 8. But the word of our God shall stand forever. I'm going to stop reading there tonight for the sake of the message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege. Once again, you've given us tonight, Lord, to meet in your house. I pray, your Father, tonight, you illuminate my mind, guard my lips, and help me say, Lord, only those things that are needful, necessary in this hour. I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together tonight on this Thursday night, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray, dear God, you speak to every heart that's here tonight. I realize, Father, that it's late, the hour's late, we're tired. Lord, we're few in number tonight, but Father, I pray that you touch our hearts. Speak to us tonight through your precious word. Have your will, have your way, and all that's said and all that's done. And we'll be sure to thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen and amen. As we begin looking in chapter number 40 and verse number 1 and verse number 2, the initial portion of the book has been one the prophecy of the coming judgment. As I said, up through the 39 chapters, chapter 1 through chapter 39, it's looking at that judgment. And I struggled with that, I'll be honest with you, as I tried to teach through those chapters, because there was so much of the coming judgment, the judgment of God, the judgment of God, the judgment of God. And I didn't want us to get burdened down and get to looking at the gloom and the doom through all those chapters. So I had to struggle through that and try to break it up a little bit, and so we wouldn't get so gloomy as we study through that. I'm thankful that we've made it to chapter 40. Amen. But as we look through those first 39 chapters, it's dealing with the coming judgment, which came by the Assyrians and also came by the Babylonians. And we know that God worked miracles through the angel of the Lord there that slew 185,000 Assyrians, and God blessed His people at times. But that's all gone. That's all over with now. And the message that Isaiah is given is a message of encouragement, a message of comfort for God's people, Israel. I think we can apply some of this to ourselves tonight. Nothing wrong with doing that as an application. But here the Bible is speaking to the children of Israel, and it says the command is for Isaiah, comfort ye my people, saith your God. So God begins to tell them, comfort's on the way. Listen, all the judgment and all the things that took place because of their sins, all of that is over now, and God's beginning to do something different. All right, there's kind of a change in scenery, if you would. It's been prophesied all through the Old Testament that the Messiah is coming. Now we see in verse number 2, here the Bible says, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. The first part of this message may not sound very comforting, but yet God must begin that way. God wounds in order to heal. Now I've said this before, I want to say it again tonight for the record, and so it's for our understanding. God does not tempt man. The Bible teaches us that God doesn't do that. But God does allow temptations to come. He does allow things to happen in our life. God allows things in our life, and those wounds come so He can heal us. God allows, He heals so He can make alive. Jesus Christ Himself there on the cross, He died. Amen. God allowed that to happen and brought Him back to life, resurrected. Amen. God wounds so He can heal. God kills so He can make alive. God cripples because God cares. Amen. I could preach that all night. That's not my message. But that's good stuff. Amen. Amen. All right. We never know, listen, God does these things, but we never know Him in the fullness of His power to sustain and comfort until we've come to the end of our own resources. Let me say that one more time. We never know Him in the fullness of His power to sustain and to comfort us until we have come to the end of our resources. When we're at the end of our rope and there's nowhere else to go and we have to go to God, then we see the fullness of His power. Boy, I'm telling you, it'd be real good if we just learned that to begin with. Amen. But here the children of Israel, hey, listen, they're the same way. They never understood the fullness of His power to comfort and sustain them until they was at the end of the road. Here we see in the ministry of God Himself, in the ministry of comfort, God always brings or begins by showing us our need and our dependence upon His omnipotent power. In the ministry of comfort, God Himself, listen, has to show us our need until we see our need. A lost man cannot get saved till he sees his need for salvation. You know that? Amen? Can't none of us do that. Until we saw that we were lost and undone without Jesus Christ and saw that need, hey listen, we didn't want nothing. But once we saw the need, then we knew we needed something we couldn't accomplish and we couldn't do. We couldn't get it, we couldn't make it happen. We had to have the omnipotent power of God. In chapter number 40, He says to the prophet Isaiah, comfort ye my people. Then He proceeds to instruct the servant Isaiah as to the character of his message. And Isaiah says, listen, the voice said, cry. And Isaiah said, what shall I cry? Look with me, if you would, in verse number 6. The voice said, cry. And Isaiah said, and he said, what shall I cry? And here's the answer. The answer says, all flesh is grass. All godliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth. That was the answer. This is divine order. This is the divine order of how things work with God. It is not until we realize our own utter nothingness and helplessness that we are in a position to reward ourselves of the comfort which the Lord wants to give us. The Bible says that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth. The grass, listen, we're the grass. The flower fadeth. These things that we have, they fade away. But the Bible says in verse number 8, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And my helplessness and my nothingness, I can do absolutely nothing in my condition as a lost individual. Listen, I must have God. I must have Him. Here's a beautiful picture, if you would, of the gospel. The answer, what shall I cry, is found in verse 6 and verse 7. This is divine order, not till we realize our own nothingness and helplessness, that we are in a position to reward ourselves of the comfort which God wants to give. God the Father, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, He is called by Paul the God of all comfort. Not some comfort, but the God of all comfort. Jesus Christ Himself in John chapter 14, John chapter 15, and John chapter number 16 referred to God the Holy Spirit as what? The Comforter. Amen. So we know God the Father is the God of all comfort. The Holy Spirit is referred to as the Comforter in the Gospels of John. Then the work and ministry of Christ was to comfort all that mourn. He's also called in 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Jesus Christ is called the Advocate. Amen. He's our Advocate with the Father. Hold on. Listen to this. If the word advocate is exactly the same in the Greek as the word comforter that you find in the Gospels of John. Amen. So now we have God the Father is the God of all comfort. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And Jesus Christ, amen, He's the advocate, which also makes Him comforter. Amen. So the three in one, what a blessing it is to have all of those together to comfort us when we face our troubles and our disappointments and our trials of life. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all three work together to comfort us. And we have to get to the place where we see, as Israel did, see our nothingness and our helplessness and call upon Him. Amen. Who is wanting, desiring to help His people. What a blessing to have the God of all comfort as we face troubles and disappointments and perplexities. If we never knew grief or pain, we would never be able to appreciate what God does. And listen, Lord, help us. If we never suffered anything, if there's never any grief or pain in our life, we'd never be able to appreciate what God can be to His suffering people. If you never go through anything, if you never suffer any grief, you'll never know the blessings of God and what God can do in the times of suffering for His people. Preacher, I don't know why I have to go through what I'm going through. I don't know why neither, but I do know this. If you'll just lean on Him and trust Him, hallelujah, and listen, He'll bless you beyond measure, and you'll see how worthy He is and how well He's worth worshiping when we're weary and well-doing. Well, that's good stuff. When we cry to the Lord in the hours of distress, He does not remove the cause of our trouble in every case. And you know that to be true as you study through the life of Israel. As many times as they prayed and asked God and begged and pleaded with God, but yet they still had to go through those difficult times. God doesn't remove the troubles every case, listen, in our life when we begin to pray. In the hour of distress, He does not remove the cause of our trouble, but He always gives the grace needed to bear whatever is there. Amen. And boy, that's good stuff. He always gives grace to bear whatever is there. Amen. I don't know if that's helping y'all tonight, but it's a helping this preacher, all right? So just let me help myself, and I'm just going to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Amen. He's always there in the hour of distress and the hours of trouble. He's always there, listen, to give grace for whatever we're facing. We call upon Him, amen, and we're able to endure whatever's there. Now watch your Bibles. I like this. This right here, my friend, is good stuff. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. What's he crying? He's a crying. Listen, that the word of the Lord is sure. God is sure. God is the comforter. God will take care of his people. Amen. Crying to her that her warfare is accomplished and that her iniquity is pardoned. Now, it's been prophesied, as I said, all through the Old Testament, that the Messiah was coming. Oh, year after year after year, the high priest would have to go in and go through the works and the motions of getting the sins forgiven and spreading the blood and sprinkling the blood and doing all that on the mercy seat. Year after year, they had to do that. The Messiah was promised that he was coming, and God's people could, listen, they could call upon him, believe upon him, and listen, they would be relieved from all their sin. All their iniquity, all their sin was laid upon him. Amen. Now he's prophesying. He's coming. It's coming. Tell my people. Comfort my people. And listen, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is parted. For she hath, what's your Bibles? She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The Bible says in verse number 2, the Bible says, for the message to be, speak comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her iniquity, let her know that her iniquity is pardoned. But then the rest of that phrase, it kind of seems like that God had poured out a double portion of judgment on Israel. Now there's a lot of controversy on, understanding that verse of Scripture. There's several commentators that just go plumb off the deep end somewhere and they try to explain that verse of Scripture. But the Bible here, it's not looking forward to the tribulation. Some is saying that verse means, well, Israel suffered in the Old Testament, Israel is going to suffer again at tribulation, and that's what that means. That's not what the Bible's speaking of. Some say that it's the double portion, the Lord's hand, doubled for all her sins. God put on her double judgment because of her sin. That's not what the Bible's speaking of. That's absolutely not what it's saying. You study the book of Job. Job says that God will not put on a man more than he can handle. Amen. God doesn't double your judgment because your sin is bigger than somebody else's. God don't work that way. God does punish sin. Somebody help me tonight. God does punish sin and God sends judgment, but he don't put double judgment on anybody. That's just not the way our God works. All right, so what does that mean, the double of the Lord's hand? It was a Jewish custom that if someone had a debt that they owed, that they would take the deed to their property, and they would take that deed to a creditor and give that deed to the creditor temporarily to get the money to pay for their bills or their debt that they owed. So that creditor would take that deed of that house or the home or the farm or whatever it was, and he would put that deed up on the doorpost of that home. And then everybody that come by would know that there was a debt owed on that home and there was a creditor who had that debt. The home was not paid for. I don't know for sure. I didn't study real deep into that, but I would imagine that would be a disgrace to the home that it wasn't paid for and we had to borrow some money. I would think that would probably be a disgrace to them. But everybody that walked by the doorpost of that home would see that there was a debt owed and a creditor had a copy of this himself, and so did the owner. And so that would go on for time until it was paid, until the debt was finished. Now, listen real close. This is going to make you shout if nothing else does. So the doorpost now has a creditor's letter on it. And it was a custom of that day for the creditor, once the debt was paid, the creditor would come back to that doorpost, and they would double the creditor's note. The creditor would double the note. You understand how that works? If I hand you a piece of paper and tell you to double it, what do? You fold it. So the creditor would come by the doorpost where the letter of credit was stuck and nailed to the home or the farm or whatever it was, and the creditor, once the debt was paid, he would double that note. So everybody that come by would see that note, that letter, that creditor's letter was doubled and it was paid in full. Did y'all read that in the Bible? Whoop! Did y'all read that here in verse number 2? For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Whoop! That'll make a Presbyterian shout. Amen. I know it's Thursday night and it seems kind of dry, but look, hey, the Bible said that the Lord's hand, they were not able to pay their debt. They were not able to fold this thing up and nail it on the doorpost. It took the Lord's hand to get that done. Tell them that her iniquities have been pardoned. The Lord's hand is doubled for all her sins. Boy, ain't that good stuff. Then notice the Bible says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert high places or highway for our God. Hey, the sin debt had been paid. God had paved the way for Jesus Christ. He was on his way. The Messiah that had been promised, he was coming to take away the sins of the world. Hey, children of Israel, or neither us can do anything about our sins. We have to get to the place where we see our nothingness. As a lost man has to get to the place to see his nothingness. He has to get to the place where he sees that he's helpless and he can't do anything. Notice with me, the Bible says, cry aloud. Cry aloud. Verse number 6 says, cry. The message is to cry. All through the Scriptures you'll find where the message was to cry. Cry aloud, spare not, show my people their iniquities. Cry, that means cry out, to proclaim loudly. Amen. You wonder why preachers preach loudly and loud as we do in spit and slobber, because the Bible says to cry out and let my people know of her iniquities. But here we see that the Bible also says to Isaiah to cry. Isaiah said, what shall I cry? What in the world shall I say? It's been judgment this whole time. And the Bible here says, listen, tell them that all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth. The only thing that's sure is the Word of God. That was the message. Proclaim it loud. The account was paid in full. Flesh couldn't do nothing about it. That flesh is going to fade away. Everything that the flesh has attained and acquired is going to fade away. It's the precious Word of God that's going to stand. What's significant about the grass and the flower withering or fading away? We can't do nothing to save ourselves. We must see our helplessness and know that God has the provisions for salvation. Amen. We can do nothing for ourselves in salvation. Get a hold of that tonight. You and I can do absolutely nothing to get salvation. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Amen. It's not on us. It's not what we do that gets us saved. Boy, I'm telling you, there's so much false teaching in our day that people think you've got to do something in order to get saved. It's not what we do that gets us saved. It's not in my ability to get me saved. Stay with me. I am going somewhere. It's not in what we do. It's not in what we how we act that gets us saved. But it is what we believe. Amen. And the Bible says, and the Word of God shall stand sure. Amen. The Word of God shall stand sure. Brother Fred, I can't do nothing. I couldn't do nothing. Thank God I am saved. I couldn't do nothing to get myself saved. Absolutely nothing could I do. Well, preacher, you walked out. That walking out didn't get me saved. Well, preacher, you joined the church. That didn't get me saved. Well, preacher, you did something to get... No, I didn't. It's not in me that gets me saved. It's in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe, amen, in what He did and the finished work on Calvary. And I repented toward God as a sinner, asked for forgiveness, hallelujah, and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. That's how I got saved. Amen. Not nothing I done. Listen real close. We can't do nothing in salvation. We can't gain it. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. And comfort of the Lord. In the times of distress, in the times of trouble, in the times of perplexity, there's absolutely nothing you and I can do to help us through those situations. But the Bible says the Word of God is sure, and it endureth. It'll carry you through the times that nothing else can carry you through. It'll get you through the troubles when nothing else can get you through. God understands when nobody else does. Amen. Listen, we have to learn the lesson tonight in this passage of Scripture. The lesson tonight is to understand God is speaking to His people Israel. We know that through the studying of the Word of God. He's speaking to Israel. But the application tonight is that we can do nothing for our salvation. We have to see our helplessness and our uselessness and how deprived we are. Amen. We have to see that in salvation. But we also have to see that when it comes to the comforting hand of God. We cannot, listen, we cannot live without Him. We'll learn to take our hands off and say, God, I need You to take care of me. I need You to take care of this situation. I need You to give me wisdom. Show me in Your Word what I should do, how I should act, where I should go. Show me these things and help me. And the Lord will do that. Watch your Bibles. Real quickly. I'm almost finished. I'm going to quit. Behold, the Bible says, verse number 10, behold, the Lord your God will come with a strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are young. You just imagine tonight that the great shepherd is desiring us to let go of the troubles and the problems and the disappointments and lean on Him and trust Him to carry us through. Ain't that comforting? Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, that's good. I can just imagine. He said, well, that's good. I'm glad you finally come to your senses, boy. You don't know what you're going to do. Now let me take care of it. Amen. Don't know what I'm going to do about my finances. Well, good, son. Now let me take care of it. You'll just trust in me. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He's the God of all comfort. Amen. But we need to trust Him tonight. Trust Him to take care of it. Lean on Him. Understand that He can sustain us through whatever the circumstances are. Boy, I don't know if that done much for you, but it sure did bless your preacher. So you just let me have it and run with it. Amen. I appreciate your attention tonight. I'm glad my debt's paid in full. Amen. I'm glad I got by the Lord's hand, it's been doubled. Amen. My debt's been doubled. That letter on the doorpost has been doubled. That means it's paid in full. Ain't that good stuff? Lord, have mercy. That'll make a Presbyterian shout if you understood it. Amen. Bless the Lord, amen. He's worthy of all of our praise. And we got to get to the place where we take our hands off of things and trust Him. I'm not saying we don't work and move and abide and obey Him. I'm saying we need to quit worrying about things we got no control over. Start relying on Him, amen, to give us that comfort we need. And let Him take care of us like He wants to. Like He wants to. Y'all heard that, right? Like He wants to. He wants to take care of us. We're stubborn and hard-headed and won't let Him. Let Him take care of us. He's the comforter. He's the advocate. Hallelujah. Let's pray.